Good morning. I'm Donna Quinn, and for the next half hour, you'll be listening to Talk of Our Towns. I often refer the Lower Columbia Pacific region, I refer to it sometimes as Water World. Today, we're going to be talking about water. The North Coast Watershed Association is beginning a new project. It's called Wetlandia, which goes perfectly well with Water World. And I have some incredible expertise here in the studio today to talk about the new Wetlandia project and how you and me, how all of us can be involved in this and why it's important. In fact, tomorrow night at the Guy Boynton Building in downtown Astoria, there's a kickoff event for Wetlandia, and we'll talk more about that later. Let's talk about my guests. Today in the studio, I have Jessie Jones. She is the North Coast Watershed Association coordinator. Hi, Jessie.
Hi, Donna.
I'm so glad you're here in the studio today.
So are we.
Water is so important. We just have to have water to live, to drink, to breathe. All of it. We need water. Okay. And we also have a volunteer here in the studio, Chris Farrar. Chris is a geologist, a volcano and surface water advisor. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Donna. Thanks for having us here. And I want to thank Coast Community Radio for having the three of us on this morning to talk about water in the local area.
Good. That's important. We need water and we need air and we need dirt. And there are certain things that are essential, and water is just right there. And we also have Randy Bayless. Randy is a water quality advisor. Hi, Randy.
Good morning, Donna.
Glad to have you here in the studio. Before we talk about what the North Coast Watershed Association is, what their mission is, what they do, and Jessie will tell us that, we're going to just find out a little bit about each one of our guests. So, Chris Farrar, why don't you start and tell us a little bit about yourself, please?
Well, I've been in Astoria now for a couple of years permanently. Prior to that, my wife and I made a trip here in the late 1990s. I guess that's the way to explain it. The first night here in Astoria, we kind of fell in love with the place. And over a course of a couple of years, we decided we'd buy a home here. And so about 10 years ago, we managed to purchase a home here in the town. And my wife lived here permanently since that time, and I visited frequently over the years. I come from California. Most of my time was spent there. I worked for the 37 years for the U.S. Geological Survey. It's part of the Department of Interior. It's a big federal agency, and a lot of people don't realize that besides doing geological studies, the USGS studies is one of the largest water science agencies in the world. I picked up a lot of experience in that 37 years, and now I retired 2 years ago, and I come to a place with all these waters and streams and a fishery that's very important to the region and in declining numbers, and I have some concerns about that, and I want to give back to this local community some of what I've picked up in 37 years of professional hydrology work.
That's excellent. We're awfully lucky to have you as a volunteer here, Chris. And let's talk with Randy Bayless. Randy, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Thank you. Many, many decades ago, I did graduate research in water quality and enjoyed it a lot, and subsequently moved to Alaska, where I spent 30 years essentially in water quality programs of one sort or another. I was the chief of the water quality management program for the state of Alaska for a couple or 3 years, and I enjoyed that quite a bit. And my wife and I moved here a couple of years ago, and looking forward to helping the water quality program here in Astoria.
Oh, that's great, Randy. We are so fortunate. We have so many talented people here. And please, Jessie Jones, tell us about yourself.
Thank you. So I've been working with the Watershed Councils, the North Coast Watershed Association, for almost 2 years. In July, it will be my two-year anniversary. Before that, I worked for a year with the Soil Water Conservation District, doing outreach for them and some grant writing. I'm from Vernonia. I grew up on the banks of the Nehalem River, where there were spawning grounds right in front of our home. So I was lucky enough as a girl to kind of see the process every year. I studied community development at Portland State and then did some master's work in natural resource policy. I have worked in consulting for municipal and county governments and nonprofits since 2006. So I've actually been working in Astoria since 2006. And now, working as a watershed council coordinator has been one of the most rewarding jobs I've ever had.
Thank you. And let's talk about what the North Coast Watershed Association is and what a watershed council is.
Okay. Well, the North Coast Watershed Association is an umbrella group of four watershed councils, and that it starts in the east with the Nikolai Wikiup and then comes into Young's Bay. And then we have Skippinon Watershed Council. And then down south, our coastal watershed council is ECOLA. Many years ago, there were five watershed councils underneath this, and that would include Nikanikum. They now have a separate coordinator, but we work very closely together.
What is a watershed council for those who don't know what that means?
A watershed council is simply a group of local citizens who are interested in salmon health and in water health and in wildlife health. These watershed councils were kind of created back in 1997 by Governor Kitzhaber. And these groups get together once a month or once every other month, and they have a paid coordinator. And these groups create action plans for actions that they want to take in their watersheds. And then they figure out ways to implement these actions. This usually means writing a grant.
You're a 501c3 yes. nonprofit organization.
Yes.
And you work with local governmental agencies.
We
and
do.
And you work with CREST, which if, for those listeners who aren't familiar with CREST, why don't you just mention, because your office is right in the post office here in Astoria in the CREST office. And what is CREST?
Yeah. CREST stands for the Columbia River Estuary Study Task Force. And CREST has been around for 30 or 40 years. They started out as a planning organization for the coastal region here. And the connection with CREST, and they do things like most recently they've been doing some dike breaches and kind of bringing back the wetlands, but they also just do planning. They're a council of governments and districts. They have members like municipalities and counties and things like that. And the reason why we are housed in the CREST office is because in I think the early 2000s, CREST wrote a grant for a watershed council coordinator. There was not one here. And so their staff wrote the grant, brought a coordinator on, and the coordinator began to coordinate the local councils. And so they now act, they're a partner with me. We actually work together. They'll do a project, the watershed council will plant that project.
I love that this is made up of citizen scientists, because I have two incredible scientists right here sitting in the studio. However, citizen scientists, that's a wonderful term, and that means that anyone can be involved and help with this water quality monitoring that you all are doing in the watersheds. And then I think the next distinction that I'd like for us to make is we've talked about what a watershed council is and what you do. What are the projects that you have been doing, and what is this new project, and how does that differ?
Well, we have projects. You can also call them programs. Each council, and of which there are four in North Coast Watershed Association, has an action plan. And those action plans are comprised of all different kinds of things. They may be removing a fish barrier. They may be planting an area of a stream that has no trees whatsoever. It may be water quality sampling. This year, what we removed a logging road along Mabel Creek, which is in the headwaters of Young's River. That was about a mile project, a mile long of Mabel Creek. Our partners with that were the Campbell Group, U.S. Fish and Wildlife, Trout Unlimited. We also did, right now, currently, we are removing all of the many, many acres of Scotch broom from Alder Lagoon. So we have a component to our program to remove weeds. We also do culvert replacements. We will be building a bridge on Highway 101 in the near future.
There's a lot to do. You're busy. You know, I want to also step back for a moment, because Chris and I talked earlier, and when I was also talking with Randy, we were talking about what is water? I mean, not what is water, but, okay, what kinds of water are there? And we talked about surface water. Would you just give a little rundown on what kind of water we're talking about?
Well, first of all, you bring up the point of what is water. It's not trivial. It's, of course, hydrogen and oxygen. Almost everybody knows that. What they may not realize is that's the most common element and the third most common element in the universe. that combine to form water. And we're lucky enough to have it here on our planet in abundance. And, of course, there's water follows a cycle, and it resides in various reservoirs for different parts of that cycle. Most of it resides in the ocean. Over 97% of the water is in the oceans. Another nearly 3% is trapped in glaciers. That's the largest body of fresh water on the planet. The remaining water is divided up between the stuff that we're most frequently in contact with, which is in the rivers and lakes and streams, is surface water. But some of that surface water soaks into the soils and the rocks, and it gets down into the ground, and then it's called groundwater. But it doesn't always stay underground. Water over periods of days, weeks, months, sometimes thousands of years, finally migrates to a point where it emerges again to the land surface and may join a stream or may go directly into the ocean, may evaporate into the atmosphere. So there's this big cycle of water going on all the time. And all of our life as we know it here on our planet depends on that water. You don't have life without it. And also, water is known, most people know this, it's kind of called the universal solvent. So it dissolves so many substances, and it can pick up traces of tiny amounts of different substances, naturally occurring materials that are up in our atmosphere, the natural elements in the atmosphere, like nitrogen get into the water, oxygen gets into the water, carbon dioxide. But humans have contributed their own suite of elements up in the atmosphere, and some of them escape and get into the streams. Our soils are saturated with different chemicals. And these are all going into our stream water, mostly in very tiny amounts, and most of our water is very good quality and is useful for all the purposes we need. But these elements are getting in our water in greater numbers of amounts and concentrations, and there are a lot of studies that show this in recent times. At the same time, we see declining numbers of salmon and other and anadromous fish and other wildlife in the area. And so there's a concern that there may be a correlation between changes in water quality and the quality of our watersheds and the health of our wildlife and our fisheries. And so these are concerns to me, and that's what's gotten me so excited and involved. I think there's a lot we can do. It's not a bleak picture at all. It's an exciting world, and there's room for a wide variety of people to become engaged in this. You don't have to be a chemist to get in this. Don't fear that. Come out with us in the field, put on your boots, and slosh around the water. It's a lot of fun.
I think it does sound like a lot of fun to go and take water quality samples and be part of this new Wetlandia project, which we're going to talk about in just a minute. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Talk of Our Towns. I'm your host, Donna Quinn. Today, we're speaking with three very interesting people who have great backgrounds and are working with the North Coast Watershed Association. It's a collection of four watershed councils in the northwest corner of Oregon. And they're concerned with water quality and not only just for fish habitat, but, I mean, it's all related because we drink water, and as you say, it's everything is connected. And in the studio today, I have Jesse Jones. Jesse is the North Coast Watershed Association coordinator. And we also have Chris Farrar. He's a geologist, volcano, and surface water advisor. And Randy Bayless, who is a water quality advisor. And we've been talking about surface water, groundwater, the estuary water, water quality. We're going to talk about Wetlandia, which is a new project you can hear about tomorrow night. But before we do that, I want to, Randy, ask you about the partnership that the North Coast Watershed Association has with Clatsop Community College.
Well, if we have a bunch of volunteers to go out and help us sample and test water quality, we need to train them and give them the proper educational background so that they can use the tools that we can provide them. So we'll want to teach them how to use certain testing kits and what the meaning of the results of these tests are. So the point is we really want to develop our resources, develop our volunteers, and give them the proper training. And that's what the community college will help us with. The Clatsop Community College, many years ago, assimilated $50,000 worth of testing equipment and sampling equipment and so forth. And this is available to us along with their laboratories and other facilities. So we're quite blessed to be in partnership with them, and they provide quite a bit of assets to our program. And so I'll be doing the training for that. We gave a course last fall, and we trained 11 or 12 people. They all are interested in water quality, and some of them are raring to go and get out and as Chris says, get their feet wet.
Well, this is the time.
And fill their bottles.
Yeah, this is the time. So actually, this is a not only an informational and educational program today, but this is also a call to action, because let's talk about Wetlandia, because there's a way you can be involved with water quality monitoring, which is fun and vitally important for our area. So let's talk about this new program, Wetlandia.
Well, the program sort of initiated from an action plan of the Watershed Council. So when I began 2 years ago, I looked to see what has been done, what has not been done with the Watershed Councils. And this was one thing, was volunteer water quality monitoring program. What does that mean? How do I start that? How do we fund it? So luckily, I came across Randy at one of our Nature Matters events at the Fort George, and then eventually also came across Chris. And so what Wetlandia is the sum of the last year of all of us talking about this and putting a class on. And what it really comes down to is local people, we'll call them citizen samplers, involved in their local watershed councils. So one of actually five, which would also be the Nakanakam Watershed Council, testing waters and learning about the stories that those waters tell in their community. So for example, Young's Bay is one of our is one of our watersheds and one of our councils. And so Young's Bay has numerous tributaries flowing into it. And then also there is the bay. And so what we're going to, what Landia eventually will be volunteers testing once or twice a month on a schedule, water, and then testing and collecting that water and then testing it at the lab and then putting it onto our website, those results.
And tomorrow night, what's going to happen?
Well, tomorrow night, we'll be meeting at the Judge Guy Boyington Building at 6 p.m., and we're calling it our launch kind of kickoff event. And really what this is to give information to people about what we know about the water quality in this area, and also to recruit volunteers for this program. We'll have maps set up of each watershed, and people will have an opportunity to come and share what they know. There are many folks in this community who work for all kinds of organizations that have sampled water or been involved in these, and I would like them to come, and there will be a number of them there to share what they know. And then we'll have other folks who are just interested in knowing what the quality of the stream is that's flowing near their home.
And I did get a call from a listener, and will the spraying of herbicides be addressed?
In the meeting?
In all of the work that you're doing, I'm assuming.
Well, that's a very interesting question. will it be addressed tomorrow night or on the show tonight? I can say right now that my organization has not, at least since I've been the coordinator, has not purchased money to spray herbicides. We actually have removed everything by hand.
But we do know that the spraying of herbicides does create to contamination in the water.
That's
so
true.
And those are obviously issues when you look about when we're talking about water quality, then obviously we're saying, well, we want excellent water quality. What is the problem with the water and what are the contaminants? And so obviously the spraying of herbicide and the things that Chris addressed earlier. So
What I could say is that if this caller and if anyone is curious about that or concerned about the spraying of herbicides near streams, that they should join a watershed council, and they should come to talk. They can call me, and I would be happy to discuss this and discuss where it may be taking place and those kinds of things.
Absolutely.
Each watershed group will develop a monitoring program, and that monitoring program will be based on the concerns that are brought up by the groups. And so if there is herbicides, if there's any other sort of point source or non-point source of pollutant in a certain area, that watershed program will be developed to look at those things and to sample for them. So if a certain group says pollutant X is an issue to us, then we'll train them on how to sample and test for pollutant X, and we'll get the results of pollutant X and put it in the database, and then decision makers will be able to use that kind of information to do whatever that needs to be done.
So, Chris, when you're collecting these water samples, which I'm assuming Wetlandia will take place over the next many months, and people will be out sloshing around in their boots getting water samples, which will be then monitored, and then recommendations will be made. Everyone is somehow involved with a little tributary, a little stream, something. There's something that connects everybody with water, correct?
That's very true. The water supply for the city of Astoria comes from surface water that's in the Bear Creek watershed, and some of the other smaller water systems to the east tap into that same source. And the remaining water runs down Bear Creek, and that's an important fish habitat. These tributaries are where the salmon spawn, and much of the water quality work that's been done in this area, you may have even heard at some of the public meetings, it's focused on the estuary out there. And we had a great talk back, I think, in January that talked all about all the chemicals and things that they find out in the Columbia River. Well, it's also known that the tributaries contribute water to the estuary, and we want to know that our tributaries are clean and not degrading the water of the estuary, where the fish spend a lot of time gaining weight and in part of their life cycle. Then later they come back up our little tributaries. So the tributaries are very important to the salmon. They're as important as the estuary. It's all a big system. Our responsibility with these watershed associations is on the tributaries. And CREST and some of the other agencies, the USGS and others, are out on the estuary keeping track of that. So we as citizens here, we have a responsibility of our own watershed. So look out your front door, see where your nearest stream is. Go over and look at it. Go over there today and look in there. How does the water look? How do the plants look like along the stream system? Are there birds there? You know, does it look like a healthy environment or not? And then come to the meeting tomorrow night and tell us what you see. You know, and if you've been collecting your own information, you know, a lot of this stuff you may have heard about in climate change, people are interested in phenology, you know, the change in the way our animals and plants are behaving seasonally. And so there's a lot of people out there. They collect weather data. They collect information about what the bees are doing. We want to hear from all of you because it's all interrelated. Wetlandia is focused on the water, but the whole system depends on that water. So it's all interconnected. Everybody should have an interest in it. Whether they're an artist that wants to go paint a beautiful sunset over a pristine lake, or whether they're a birder that wants to go out there and see birds and hear birds, or whether they're a little child there that just wants to see some wildlife, wants to play in the stream or whatever. Everybody can come to the meeting tomorrow night and tell us what's important to you. We want to design the program for the community.
It sounds like, Jesse, Chris is giving people homework. So now your homework is to go out, find a little stream or find a tributary, go find some water today and take a look at it. And then come and tomorrow night to the meeting and tell us what you saw. That's excellent. Now, we only have a few minutes left, so I'd like for each one of you to, we're going to give your phone number and the website and so that people can find out how to reach you. But I'd like for each of you to just say one last thing to the listening audience that maybe we haven't covered. What would you like the listening audience to know before we end the program? Jesse, you want to go ahead first?
Yeah, I would like to thank Chris for just saying what he did, and also to add that we have a lot of wetlands here as well. And so a wetland is also a body of water that needs to be tested, and it can be healthy and can be an area for salmon to feed and thrive. So if you live near a wetland, you can also go down and just kind of look into the field and into the wet parts. please contact me. My number, 325-0435, extension 12, and our website, clatsopwatersheds.org, hasn't been updated for a few weeks, but the information we have, you can call me.
Okay, and Wetlandia, again, tomorrow night, you can be part of this project. You can stomp or go and check out a wetland near you, a tributary, a stream, and then come tomorrow night at 6 o'clock to the Guy Boynton Building. And Randy from Alaska, all that time you spent there doing water quality, what would you like the listening audience to know?
What we want to create here is not just a database of information that people can make informed decisions on, but what we also want to create or to empower is the people. We want our citizen samplers to have a sense of stewardship around the waters that they drive by. And we're going to give them the tools by which they can evaluate that. And they themselves can say, well, they just don't drive by and say, water looks funny. No, they can drive by and say, I wonder what the turbidity is. I wonder what the dissolved oxygen is. I wonder if the temperature is too high for salmon or something like that. So we want to develop a sense of stewardship and empower our citizen samplers to go out and take some responsibility for the environment.
I want to do this because I know that I will learn things from all of you who know so much, and then I will have a deeper appreciation, much more knowledge when I see something, when I see a stream or I'm walking, and it's really very important work you're doing. Chris, any last thing you'd like to say?
Well, I'm a scientist, obviously, and I like spouting off a lot of numbers and facts and figures. And I think what Randy said really kind of is the right split. We do want numbers, we do need data, but we want to engage the public. That's really what counts, to have stewardship over our watersheds. And I'll just say that kind of on a more emotional side than usually I would have, I approach things from science, but you can look at it another way. I was driving home the other day and saw two children, probably 8 or 10 years old, walking their bicycles up a hill near my house there. And it was a sunny day, and I thought to myself, gee, you know, less just maybe almost 60 years ago, that could have been me walking along there. So 60 years from now, what are those guys going to be looking at when they're retired? What's this region going to look like? Is it going to look as good as it does today? Are we going to take care of the place? Are we going to at least care? You know, it doesn't take a lot more than that. If everybody in the community cares, I think naturally the environment will stay healthy and we'll be proud for what we leave to the next generation.
Oh, thank you, Chris. Well, it has been my pleasure to have all three of you here today. And I appeal to all of you who are listening to become part of Wetlandia. Know what's going on in the watershed here where you live. And tomorrow night, you have an opportunity to do that. You can come at 6 o'clock to the Guy Boynton Building. You can talk to Jesse Jones at the North Coast Watershed Association. You can meet Chris and Randy and these other marvelous scientists who are involved. Water is life for all of us here, and this is just a wonderful project. Thank you so much. Well, Terry Wilson, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all of that great engineering you always do, and also I want to express my gratitude to local talented banjo instructor Michael Bruin for his original theme music for this program. And today, you know what your homework is. You're going to go out, and you're going to look at a wetland, and you're going to look at a stream, and then tomorrow night, you're going to come and tell us what you experienced. Until next week, find a moment for yourself today. Take a deep breath. With gratitude for all the good things in your life, focus on those good things, on feeling good and expanding that in your life, and then give yourself a loving and compassionate hug or a pat on the back for being uniquely you, for doing the best you can, and for being here now in this moment, the only moment which exists, on the amazing planet we call Earth.